We started this hour thinking about tough women in American politics. And speaking of tough women who never say die, who hang in there and hang tough, our culture reporter Melissa Locker is someone who doggedly pursues a story in her work for the Vanity Fair, The Guardian, and Time. She suggests that we all take a break this weekend and check out the 7-year conclusion to the acclaimed CBS series about a tough, stalwart woman, The Good Wife.
This is the 7th season wrapping up on Sunday night, and it has really established itself as one of the best courtroom dramas ever.
It's the miserable marriage drama as well, right?
Absolutely. It's, you know, Alicia Florek standing by her man, Peter Florek, as they battle their way through the political scene of Chicago, working through Chicago corruption and the kind of insane stuff that goes on behind the scenes of political races.
I want to be clear. I have never abused my office. I have never traded lighter sentences for financial or sexual favors. At the same time, I need to atone for my personal failings with my wife, Alicia, and our 2 children. The money used in these transactions was mine, and mine alone. No public funds were ever utilized. But I do admit to a failure of judgment.
The twist here is that Peter Florek, though, is really a bad guy.
Well, yes and no. I find you kind of end up almost rooting for him, but at the same time, he does just make bad choice after bad choice after bad choice, and he definitely does do some very questionable things, but Alicia is just done with him. She really has no interest in him by the time that season 7 rolls around.
Here's an example of their interaction.
Alicia, I know this has been hard on you, but you have to believe me, I'm innocent of the abuse of office charges.
You think I give a damn about that, Peter? They're playing a tape in Grace's computer lab of you sucking the toes of a hooker. You think I care about the small print in your employment contract?
Oh, come on, I was set.
Oh, come on, Peter,
20...
I don't want to talk. I'm not going to fight.
Her hanging in there as a narrative, how does that hold up for 7 years?
Well, surprisingly, it actually holds up really well because they've been fake separated, but while their 2 careers have kind of led them on divergent paths, they both need each other in this way that only political families can probably really understand. So if you look at the Clintons or Anthony Weiner and his wife, they both need each other in this way that sort of civilians won't really get. But this show does a really great job of kind of digging into what those reasons are and humanizing them in a lot of ways.
The finale, she's not going to run off to Ibiza with some model from Brazil.
She might. I've heard the finale is very controversial. And people, they've been seeding it, and it's hard to say what's going to happen. But we do know that Alicia, over the course of the last 7 seasons, has really started to come into her own. She's standing on her own feet. And there's a lot of hints that she's just going to make her own move to be herself. And it'll just be up to fans to figure out whether they're actually happy with the ending or not. But I do think it's going to be one of those that people are going to be debating, you know, Monday morning around the, you know, water cooler.
If you can stand up around the water cooler, at least if you're this age, you could go to this rock festival, Old Cella, which is your second offering here, which
right.
I've actually seen and looked at, and I can't believe these guys would actually sign up to do this.
Its real name is Desert Trip, but the production company behind it, who also produced Coachella and Stagecoach, I can't even imagine the amount of money that they must have thrown at these people to make this festival happen, because it really is like the absolute dream fest for baby boomers. Paul McCartney, the Rolling Stones, Roger Waters, The Who, Bob Dylan, and Neil Young all playing on one festival.
Why would these guys do this?
I can only think it's money, or it's some sort of insane last hurrah where they really were like, let's just get all of our remaining fans together and just go out in style.
The audience will go where?
It's in Indio, California, down in Coachella Valley. It's the same place as Stagecoach and Coachella. You can camp on site, or you can pay to stay in one of the many, many hotels in the area. I would recommend staying in a hotel, but that's just me. Having done Coachella several times, I think it's a great opportunity to not sleep in the desert, but, you know, to each your own.
And when is it?
It's coming up in October. I believe tickets go on sale next week. The Desert Trip is just truly a lineup for people who have either lived through the era, or if, you know, people want to take their kids to see these bands who were making the charts back when they were kids.
Musical archaeology in the desert. Desert Trip and The Good Wife, 2 offerings from Melissa Locker. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Melissa Locker, culture reporter for The Takeaway, and she's written for The Guardian and Time, Vanity Fair. You see your byline all over the place.
You want answers?
You haven't answered my question.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
So, do you come to Milwaukee often?
You know how fast you were going?
How can we be expected to teach children to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
You're going to have to answer to the Coca-Cola Company.
You can't handle the truth!
Here with the truth about movies on Fridays, Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday. Hey, Rafer.
Hey, John.
So, Captain America Civil War, $200 million weekend release. That's the expectation. I guess Marvel can go anywhere. Crimean War, we could do a Revolutionary War.
That's right. You know, he is immortal. We could keep going on to many, many wars.
Russo-Japanese War. And Anthony Russo is the director of this.
Joe and Anthony Russo, Joe, that's right.
Exactly. Let's see our clip.
Guess I should have knocked.
Oh, my God. What are you doing here?
Disappointing my kids. I'm supposed to go water skiing. Cap needs our help. Come on.
Clint, you should not be here.
Not exactly a Ken Burns feel. There's how much Civil War is there in here, and how much Marvel is there?
Well, the Civil War is between the Avengers themselves. Uncharacteristically, Captain America has decided that the Avengers should go it alone and not be accountable to the politicians. But it's Iron Man who has decided, yes, we should be. We should be held accountable. And so the Avengers split into two warring camps. You know, Marvel knows how to do these movies in their sleep at this point, practically. You know, they all look of a piece. They all look great, expensive, great cast, great directors. They get all the right people to write the scripts. And it works. It's hugely entertaining. I personally don't feel a huge emotional connection to these characters, and I really haven't since the first Captain America, which I loved, which is kind of an unusual film in the Marvel canon. But, you know, if you're going in for, you know, biff, bang, pow, this is your film. And you know, we've got Spider-Man and Black Panther are both in this film as well.
Does that work? Does that combination work?
I think this is going to be the first time we've all seen Tom Holland as Spider-Man, and he's clearly trying to distinguish himself from the old bummer Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. He's trying to be very bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, kind of young and eager to please. I think it's a little over the top, but, you know, he was kind of a last-minute addition to this, and so when the real Spider-Man films show up, we'll see how he does.
The Man Who Knew Infinity is the other movie this weekend, a smaller movie, a very different movie.
How dare you judge me?
But it is you who does of me, don't you see?
No. Quite frankly, I don't.
Don't you know what I've given up to be here? I have nothing. Do you even see the bruises on my face? I have a wife, Mr. Hardy.
Jeremy Irons in this movie about a mathematician, Ramanujan from India, who's a brilliant mathematician.
That's
Take
right.
Take us out on that.
And he's being played by Dev Patel. Jeremy Irons is great. I wish I could say that Dev Patel was also great. He does his best. I just don't think he's the right actor to play a super intense, brilliant genius of a mathematician. It just doesn't kind of work. The slumdog millionaire kid, the best exotic Marigold Hotel kid. I don't quite buy him in the role, but it's a very handsome movie, and it's a very interesting story.
Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, John. You too.
And take us with you this weekend. Subscribe to our podcast. You know that you can do that on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. If you like what you hear, you can give us a rating, won't you? Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry, and this is The Takeaway.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.